I'm Ricky Bevington, broadcasting live tonight from the High Museum of Art in Midtown. Today's show is all about Atlanta arts and artists. Street artists leave recognizable patterns, logos, and sometimes characters around the city, like a creative Atlanta version of hide and seek. And one of Atlanta's most recognizable street artists incorporates lots of cats.
My name is Kat Lana, and I'm a street artist from Ormwood Park. I chose to do street art kind of by accident. I started spray painting in the city, and the neighborhood groups weren't necessarily into that, so I found other ways to bring art in a non-destructive way to the city of Atlanta. For me, public art forces the viewer to engage in their environment and notice the city around them. Even if it's just a simple drawing on the side of a building, it can change someone's day completely and change the way that they look at their neighborhood.
That is the painter and muralist Kat Lana, who lives in the Ormwood Park neighborhood. You can check out Kat Lana's favorite work on our website, gpb.org/hi. Atlanta's creative output is impressive. The metro region has 492 registered arts organizations, from museums and galleries to movie theaters to furniture makers. Statewide, the annual revenue of arts organizations is nearly $800 million. To learn more about how arts influence the daily lives of Atlantans, I'm joined by Susanna Darrow, Executive Director of Arts ATL, a nonprofit publication providing arts criticism and coverage. What is arts and culture in Atlanta?
Arts and culture in Atlanta is fascinating because it takes on a lot of different forms. It can be anything from going to see a film at the Midtown Art Cinema to taking a class at Callenwald to going to the High Museum or going to see a performance at Squirrel House, which is a small dance performance in a backyard. It takes a lot of different versions.
What are people's attitudes about arts and culture in the city, in the metro region?
I don't think people realize how often they are seeing it and engaging in it. The city is absolutely swarming with arts organizations and people that are presenting and producing the arts. They're everywhere and they're all over the city. It's not just in Midtown Atlanta that it's happening. It's in so many parts of our neighborhoods in terms of these small pop-up spaces that are doing arts programming, or even in school systems, the arts organizations that are coming in and providing all sorts of arts education opportunities that aren't directly available through the school system's curriculums.
But what do you say to somebody who says that arts aren't important?
Oh, and we hear that a lot compared to other parts of life. But I think that the arts plays such a critical role in our lives. And I think, you know, people forget that if you go to a movie and then you end up talking about it with your friends afterwards, it's part of this sort of larger shared cultural experience we all have. There's been countless studies that have directly drawn correlations between how people's relationship to arts and culture increases their pride in the city where they live, which then makes it a more attractive place to live for companies that are coming in. And from an economic impact, I mean, there is a very clear correlation between the taxes that are generated by the arts even, and just the revenue to a city and tourism dollars and all sorts of things that directly impact the city's economy.
How diverse is Atlanta's arts scene, and how would you define diversity?
I think that that Atlanta's arts community is a very diverse place. I think the arts community very much reflects the diversity of the city at large, and I think that can be measured in a lot of different ways. Of course, there's the racial diversity of a city, there's the socioeconomic diversity, the age diversity, geographic diversity is huge, of course, is something that I also kind of think about in a city like Atlanta.
Does Atlanta have an arts brand to people outside of the Southeast?
Yes, absolutely. I think that one of the things that has come out of Atlanta in the South, that Atlanta has done a very good job of really recognizing and kind of owning the identity around, is this tradition of outsider art, which I think has really taken off on a more national and international scope.
You'll have to define outsider art.
Absolutely. So I think that is the class of self-taught artists who are not academically trained, does not necessarily apply to a specific race of artists, although certainly there is a very large tradition of African-American artists within that, of often I think people think of Howard Finster as one of the big names that comes up for that.
Has social media impacted people's participation in arts and culture?
Absolutely. Millennials and retirees are very close in terms of their participation in arts and culture now, and I think social media is a huge part of that. There is a great deal more accessibility to the arts that people haven't necessarily had as directly before, and it's a bit more democratic. I can just as easily look at a gallery in Kansas City as I can a gallery in Atlanta or in New York or in Dubai or wherever it may be. And I think that that's also presented a lot of new opportunities for artists and arts organizations that working in any city. And certainly I think that's happened in Atlanta.
Well, Susanna Darrow, thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you for having me. It was a pleasure.
Susanna Darrow is Executive Director of Arts ATL. Coming up on the show, we hear from Atlanta Public Schools students whose lives are being transformed while learning the art of music. Artists sometimes say they want to transport their audience. That has been my experience looking at the large paintings of this next artist who only picked up a paintbrush a few years ago.
My name is Kalila Birdsong, and I'm a painter from Glenwood Park. I'm a large-scale abstract contemporary artist, and I paint very expressive, colorful pieces. I chose that particular medium because I learned early on that I had a lot to express without being tied to line or form. I think having access to public art really does improve the lives of everyday Atlantans. It inspires you. I can see other people being pulled in by it. And for a brief moment, it transports you from your everyday thoughts and concerns and provides a means of escape. You may not even realize that they're there, but there's something about them, just seeing them, that will transport you from your everyday thoughts and concerns.
Kalila Birdsong's abstract paintings have been displayed at Atlanta's Bill Lowe Gallery and on the set of Tyler Perry Productions. You can see more works on our website, gpb.org/high. You may not see it at first, but public art is all around the city. This next artist installs very small, personalized doors in locations like the Krog Street Tunnel, the old Fourth Ward Skate Park, even on a local tree. She has opened the door of art to countless Atlantans.
My name is Karen Anderson, and I'm the principal artist and director of Tiny Doors ATL. I live in Reynoldstown in Atlanta. Having access to free and public art improves the lives of people in Atlanta exponentially. And I think that Tiny Doors fits into this sort of free public sphere in a really specific and unique way. It is small, you can touch it, and it's on the ground level. We try to keep it all accessible to people of all ability levels. If you can get outside, you can reach it. And that's something that we wanted, was to create tangible art that reflects the community around it. Tiny Doors ATL does not stand on its own. It stands as a reflection of the community.
Karen Anderson is the creator of Tiny Doors ATL, a series of very small artistic doors all around the city of Atlanta. You can see more Tiny Doors on our website, gpb.org/high. Still to come on this program, hear from Atlanta artist Fahamu Peku about using art to address themes of race, gender, and social justice. You've seen his large paintings featured on TV shows like Black-ish and Empire. And find all of tonight's stories about Atlanta arts and artists at gpb.org/high. The High Museum sits on the campus of the Woodruff Arts Center in Midtown Atlanta, which also includes the Atlanta Symphony Orchestra and Alliance Theater. Today, this campus is a collection of modern white buildings, but it was born out of tragedy. A plane crash on June 3rd, 1962, killed 106 Atlanta Arts patrons. It happened at Orly Airfield in Paris, where the members of the Atlanta Art Association were flying home after touring Europe's great art museums. Among the victims were my grandmother and great-grandmother, Betsy Ricky Bevington and Del White Ricky. The Orly Air Crash of 1962 was an unspeakable tragedy that devastated my family and touched millions of Georgians and people all around the world. But that grief is why we have such an extraordinary art center today in our city. Within days of the crash, Atlantans raised $15 million to build a new home for the visual and performing arts. Such an arts center was the vision of many of the victims. More than five decades later, their dream is now the Woodruff Arts Center, the Southeast's cultural focal point for fine and performing arts. When I come here, I always think of Betsy and Dell and what it would have been like to meet them. Their names are included on a memorial that stands on the front lawn right along Peachtree Street. It's a large bronze statue by the great French sculptor Auguste Rodin. It's titled The Shade. Another strength of the city's arts scene lies not in paint and brushes, but in pitches and beats. The Atlanta Music Project is an after-school program that uses music to make a positive impact in underserved communities around the city. Here are sounds from an afternoon of classes at the Atlanta Music Project's Kindaisi School in West Atlanta.
My name is Aisha Moody. I am the co-founder and director of Amplify, the choral music program of the Atlanta Music Project. I believe that here at AMP we are doing really good work, and it is a gift of music that we're giving the children. Not that they don't have music in their lives without us, but we are giving them high quality arts education that they otherwise may have not received had they not been in this program.
Sing a song.
My name is Kimata Luster. I have two young men who are currently in AMP, the Atlanta Music Project. One's in the first grade and the other's in the sixth grade. Both of them participate in the choral aspect, and my oldest son does the piano classes. And one of the greatest things about the program is making complete musicians, meaning they're learning how to read music. I'm always emphasizing to them that it's more than singing or playing. The gift comes from learning how to read music and how to apply that skill set in other areas like math, and it can, you know, do different things in other subject areas.
Think about Martin.
Think about Martin.
Think about Karen.
Think about Karen.
Think about peace.
Think about peace.
All around the world.
All around.
Hello, my name is Tyree Miles, and I'm in sixth grade, and I go to Amplify at Kindaisi Westlake. Well, I feel good about Amplify because I really like the add-ons, and I do drumming. So drumming makes me want to dance and like get excited. I just think it's very fun.
My name is Kian Martin. I'm a teaching artist with the Atlanta Music Project. I would have to say one of the most valuable things that I absolutely enjoy about teaching with the Atlanta Music Project is watching the growth and development of the students as well as the camaraderie. They evolved from very shy young children, a lot of them with little to no knowledge of music, and over the course of a semester over the course of a year, they evolved to, you know, a young musician.
When we give this gift of music, it's like throwing a pebble into the pond and you see the ripples. So it goes from the child to the parent to the aunties and the uncles and grandma and the other community members and the teachers and the school. Everyone involved in this child is affected by this one seed that we planted, which is giving them this gift of music, which empowered them to get on stage and become a performer and bring joy to these other people in their lives. And now everyone is affected. Like nothing beats that for me.
And you can learn more about the Atlanta Music Project on our website, gpb.org/hi. That's also where we have a photo of those adorable children singing. GPB Stephen Fowler brought us that story. Public outdoor art is something that you've probably seen around your community. The sculpture in your local park, the bas-relief carving on Stone Mountain, or murals painted along the Atlanta Beltline. Here's one Atlanta artist who creates public art.
My name is Scott Ingram, and I'm a visual artist from Atlanta. I've always been a big fan of public art. I'm very interested in sculpture, site-specific sculpture. I think it really becomes a really nice kind of wayfinding device in addition to conversation. And I grew up in the Midwest, and there's actually a lot of permanent outdoor sculpture there. And I can remember back when they first put them in place, people would say, you know, that's a terrible thing. Why do we need that? And then years later, it became a landmark for the community. And I think that it's accessible to people in a way that is not like going to a museum or paying admission to get into something. It's something that just becomes part of your life, and it becomes very natural and something that's very easy to do and access and see and appreciate.
Scott Ingram is a multimedia artist living in Atlanta. You can see more of Ingram's work at gpb.org/hi. That's also where we're featuring other Atlanta artists. Art can be a medium for political and social commentary. One of Atlanta's most high-profile painters often depicts his shirtless body wearing baggy jeans, sometimes words on the canvas, to explore issues of race, gender, and social justice.
My name is Fahamu Peku. I am an artist, scholar, and activist, and I live and work in the Inman Park community. The reason I chose the particular medium that I work in is I found that as a fine artist, as a painter, I'm able to tell stories, to provide narratives, to give a glimpse into the existence and the lives of Black men that most people are unable to have access to. Having access to public art improves the lives of everyday Atlantans by allowing us to not just move through the world with blinders on. It allows us to think about the world in ways that we may not have previously considered. I always say that in the future, historians will tell what happened and artists will tell how it felt.
Fahamu Peku is a painter based in Atlanta. I'm Ricky Bevington, broadcasting live from the High Museum of Art in Midtown. A big thank you to Marcy Davis, the High Museum of Art and the Woodruff Art Center, for having us here tonight. Thanks also to Bradley George, Ellen Reinhart, Lane Sterrett, Tyler Morris, Tom Barclay, Stephen Fowler, and GPB's Vice President of Radio, Tanya Ott. I'm Ricky Bevington. It has been such a pleasure broadcasting tonight from the High Museum of Art. Art party slash happy hour, and the music has just gotten started from Atlanta Funk Society.